Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Undertow. Here's today's host, a teacher, author, and storyteller from Connecticut, Matthew Dix.
We have an amazing storyteller for you. Please, one of those enormous rounds of applause from Marcia Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen.
So, let me just start with this. Have you ever noticed that what the hell is always the right decision? So, here's my story. When I was young, I grew up in a really dysfunctional, alcoholic, working class, distracted family. I'm sure nobody in here can relate to that. A little different from the you can do anything family. So then when I was 16 years old, my father dropped dead one day, and that was kind of the big thing, and it completely sank me. So what does one do? So I kind of resurfaced and started doing drugs and having a lot of sex and drinking alcohol and doing anything I possibly could to keep me from the reality of my life. So, my mother got a boyfriend really fast, and I became a complete inconvenience to her. So I kept thinking, I was the last child in the household, and I kept thinking, I've got to get out of here. Like, I just have got to get out of here. So I thought at that time, the only way I could get out of there was to go to college. So I applied, I got accepted, I went to college. And I spent 2 years majoring in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So after 2 years, I decided to drop out. And I thought, wow, I am just going to have a life of adventure. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do all these great things. And if you don't know this, you can't do that if you don't have money. It just simply doesn't work. So I thought, OK, I'm going to get a job. I certainly wasn't going to move home. So I got jobs. A 20-year-old with no education and no skills, really kind of hard. I was a waitress. I was a short order cook. I babysat. But the best job I had was the person in the department store in the fitting room who hands you that number and says, oh, you have three items? Here's a three. And then when you leave, I check to make sure that you really do have the number in the items and you haven't stolen anything. So that went on for a while, and I decided, man, I really got to do something else. So 10 years later, I was 30, and I decided, I have to go to college. I mean, I really need to do something here. And I couldn't picture myself in a four-year sitting in a classroom. So I decided, what the hell, and I applied to graduate school. Because why not? So I went and I interviewed and I convinced people that, you know, yes, you have no idea. For the last 10 years, I've been doing amazing things. And you should accept me because I'm going to be such an asset to your graduate program. I'm older. I'm this. I'm that. And I got accepted. So I went to graduate school. And everything in my life started to change. I got out of graduate school. I got a job that actually paid me something. I got married. I met my husband. I got married. I had two children. I started a consulting business. I traveled all over the world. Life was really good. It was actually great. So on June 29th, my new grandson, Julian Mays, named after Willie Mays, who's my husband's favorite baseball player, was born. June 30th, I turned 69. I know you can't believe that I'm 69, but actually I am. So here I am holding my hours-old grandson and looking at his beautiful lips and his long fingers, his big feet, and he just this cherub look. And I'm imagining, oh my God, we're going to travel. We're going to do things. We're going to have a great time together, this little Julian and me. He's going to call me Grandma. I'm not calling him Jules, which is what his parents are calling him. I'm calling him Julian. And we're just going to have a great time. So, for those of you who are grandparents, you know this. For those of you who aren't, I will tell you. Grandparenting is nothing like parenting. You know, parenting, you have to, you know, discipline, and they can't do this, and you're worried about that. Grandparenting, you don't give a shit about anything. So I have other grandchildren. My grandson, when he was 3, he's now 9, was sleeping over, and he had red rain boots, and he wore them everywhere, and he loved them. And he said to me, Grandma, I want to wear my rain boots to bed. Okay. First of all, my children would never have dared to even ask me. And if they had had the balls to ask me, I would have said no. My grandson, what the hell? Wear those boots. Why not? So here I am looking at this beautiful little boy, and it hits me for the first time. You know what? I'm not going to be around for everything. Like there really is a finite amount of time here. This whole thing about mortality, it's for real. Nobody gets out of here without dying. So know that. So I'm starting to think about, wow, like first of all, let me say this. I'm a person who I run, I swim, I bike. On Sunday, I'm doing a triathlon, mini kind. I'm a cancer survivor. I have gotten over so many obstacles. In fact, I probably could win an Olympic gold medal for obstacle getting over. Because really, my life, certainly my early part of my life was that. And these things keep coming up. So I'm thinking, wow, all these great things. I'm healthy. I optimistically signed up to run the Paris Marathon in April. We'll see. I have a almost 40-year relationship with a man that I love. I still love coming home to him. He's a doll. He's here. And so don't I look like I'm going to live forever? I mean, I'm looking around, and I'm looking at Julian, and I'm thinking, I'm living forever. But that's not the reality. And no matter how convincing I am, and no matter what I do, I cannot get over this obstacle. This one can't do. So what do I do instead? So I'm going to approach this one just like I approach everything else in my life, with unbridled enthusiasm. I'm going to love this boy for all the days that I have on this earth. They may be short, they may be long. One thing I know for sure, you see what's behind me? Way more than what's in front of me. So I know that. So, in August, next month, I'm leaving for 10 months to go live in Budapest. A true what the hell decision. And when I come back, Julian is going to be 1, and Marcia is going to be 70. And we're going to pick up right where we left off. And one thing that I know for sure in this world is that you don't drown by going in the water. You drown by staying in the water. So thank you.
Marcia Greenberg is currently living the life she wants as an entrepreneur, a leadership consultant, and an educator. She lives on an island off the coast of Portland, Maine, with her husband, Steve. They have two adult sons and three wonderful grandchildren. They enjoy traveling around the world, laughing, cooking, eating wonderful food, and drinking great wine. Marcia has completed two marathons and several triathlons. She and her husband recently walked 500 miles across Spain, completing the Camino de Santiago. She recently spent 4 years living and working in South Korea, and she is headed to Budapest in August for her 10-month teaching assignment and a chance to explore that part of the world. Marcia Greenberg, ladies and gentlemen.
If you want to know more about today's storyteller, you're in luck. Let's join our host backstage now in conversation with today's teller.
So Marcia, can you tell us your connection to Maine?
Yes, I've been living here for the last 34 years. I live on Peaks Island, and when I'm not traveling, that's where I am.
So how did you get into storytelling?
Well, I'm not sure I'm into storytelling. I realized when I looked at this question that I really got into this because I used to do leadership and management development, and everything was based on telling stories. And I have a blog now, and that's where I'm at with it, but I realized I started quite a long time ago not even knowing it was storytelling.
I hear that actually from a lot of people, myself included. We don't know what we're doing until we know what we're doing. So what is your process for preparing to tell a story?
Well, I wrote the story out quite a while ago when Donna first asked me, and it's changed so many times. So I read it, I change it, and then things happened. You know, what happened this time is that I had a grandson born, and it changed everything that I was going to say.
Yeah.
So my process is to write it and rewrite it and look at it and read it to someone. And
right.
Yeah.
So it's constantly evolving for you. If another grandchild comes along, the story will be different. All right. Can you tell us about one part of your story, sort of a behind-the-scenes detail, something that didn't make the story that you could have included?
Well, I didn't include a whole lot of the story because my grandson was born. I was telling a whole story about my life and what's happened for me and all this, and suddenly I have this grandchild. So there's a lot of my story I didn't put in. Mostly about me, nothing particularly personal that I said, I don't want to include that. I'm pretty transparent.
Right.
I didn't mention that I had cancer, but I think I might as I tell my story tonight because it might fit in somewhere.
All right. Thank you, Marcia.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainpublic.org.